Welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for December 2013. Have you ever lost something only to find it years later? Well, such was the case when Phil Wayne recently found a big old box of carts. You know, those things that DJs used to play on the air. Nowadays, we got computers. But these were carts that Phil got from WDEE Radio back when I worked at WLQV. They were just sitting in the garage collecting dirt and dust, and they're getting ready to throw them out. Phil took them, and my gosh, there's some great stuff on. So for this Market Scope, we're going to feature what Phil found. Air checks, promos, and kind of some remembrances of a fantastic country station called WDEE, the Big D.
With pickers that can pick and singers that can sing, but don't forget the most important thing, strings.
The Big D.
The country giant in Detroit.
Station WDEE in Detroit, Michigan, owned and operated by Globe Broadcasting Company. WDEE operates at 1500 kilohertz with a daytime power of 50,000 watts and a nighttime power of 5,000 watts by authority of the Federal Communications Commission. We are now conducting equipment tests.
It's a big D kind of a day. It's a big D kind of a day.
Another half an hour to go, 1:30 in the morning. This is Jimmy Bear, Cup of Coffee Club at your radio station. Radio 15 WDEE, the modern country music giant of the Midwest, right here in the Motor City.
You say.
For late tonight and tomorrow, we're expecting about an inch of snow tonight and 20 degrees. Some periods of snow tomorrow, maybe another inch or two coming down on us. We can look for 25 degrees, cloudy with a few flurries tomorrow night and Saturday. Right now it's 25 at City Airport, 26 degrees at the Big D.
No rose will ever seem as red.
This weekend,
she's a broken lady.
The Big D cleans out all our super country hit albums, iron-ons, and 8-tracks during a super spring cleaning modern country music weekend.
Mr. Lovemaker.
Each hour starting 6 p.m. Friday when albums by Charlie Rich.
Gonna lay down my burden.
Tammy Wynette.
I can make it on my own.
George Jones.
I have no rules in battle, so I fire the guns of anger once again.
Or score a Loretta Lynn or Tanya Tucker iron-on. Clean up some great modern country prizes when spring house cleaning starts on
the Big, Big, Big D.
Have a big, delightful day.
.331, you're listening to the modern country giant of the Midwest in the Motor City. WDEE, Detroit, almost as big as Old King Kong.
Well, Old King Kong was a hell of a gorilla. He stood 4 stones tall.
The old possum himself, George Jones, and Old King Kong was just a little monkey compared to my love for you. Here's one for John Garner and all the guys down there, Great Scott and Melvindale this morning. They want to hear a little trucking music, so here's Red Simpson.
Hello, I'm a truck.
The Big D, Big Deal phone calls resume on Monday. Listen carefully for the big deal of the hour. We might call you and ask,
what's the big deal this hour?
If you can tell us, it's yours. Free prizes, including stacks and stacks of cash. The big deal is paying off. From Music Country, 15 Big D.
This is Chris Christopherson. I'm proud to be a part of Big D Country.
WDEE.
The music we're going to play during the course of the Cup of Coffee Club tonight. We're doing it by a very scientific method. Bob and I are taking all of the oldies and we're throwing them off the top of Tower 14, and what doesn't break, we're going to play.
Saturday, the Big D presents the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and Southern California Trojans.
Select cards at random from all the wild card mail and call that lucky person in the Big D dollar line jackpot. Don't be left out. Wild card, another way to win with
WDEE Detroit.
Here's your chance to get out of your house and get a free visit to the land of a famous mouse.
It's a small, small world.
Just send us a card with your name, address, and phone, then listen to the Big D's Big Deal while at work or at home. You'll fly to Orlando on an Eastern Airlines plane, relax, and sit back so you can enjoy your steak and champagne. While you're at Walt Disney World, there'll be plenty to see, plus hotel accommodations at the Dutch Inn, thanks to the Big D. This grand prize trip is for a family of four. More proof that with WDEE, you'll always get a whole lot more.
Thank you, Rosalie. She'll be here this afternoon at 4 o'clock on the Modern Country Chat. Right now, let's give a listen to Del Reeves from 1965. Here's the girl on the billboard.
Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do.
That's Rebecca Rogers, who listens to WDEE, works up in Troy, Michigan, city of tomorrow today. It's 22 minutes after 3.
It's a fact. The full-size Mercury Marquis four-door sedan offers more.
Now she's gone. She's gone away forever. And it's all because of you, old jealous heart.
WDEE, Detroit.
What a difference you've made in my life.
I guess you just raised a fox chaser.
You know what? Jerry Reed and Sedina, whatever. It's Western winter pear time, and you'll find these delicious pears again in the produce department of A&P.
This is WDEE, Detroit.
15 Big D.
15 Big D. There's only one Elvis, and there's only one Big D, and here's a country.
Hi, this is Kenny Rogers, proud to be a part of Big D Country.
There's something about smooth, easy music when it starts playing that just can't seem to go.
WDE.
That's a great find, Phil. I'm glad you found that box of carts. Some great memories of 1500 WDEE in Detroit, Michigan. A fantastic sounding radio station back then. If you'd like to help Phil out with the Market Scope, it's real easy to do. Just record some of the stations in your market, or if you have some classic air checks, send them along to Phil Wayne. That's Phil Wayne, W-A-Y-N-E, at 7645 County Highway 71, Harpster, and that's spelled H-A-R-P-S-T-E-R, Ohio, 43323. And I know Phil would greatly appreciate any air checks that you can send his way for the Market Scope. Now let's give a listen to the Musings to the Members.
W-A-Y-S, sure alert.
This is Russell Curry in Eugene, Oregon. The article about the mystery station in Omaha reminded me of a station that was on the dial around here about 15 years ago, and I never could figure out the who or the why of it. But it was about 3 or 4 miles from where I lived then, and it sounded about like it was maybe 10 watts or so. And they played a 70s, 80s, 90s hit mix, and the only ID I ever heard was New Star 107.5. No call letters, no commercials. Sometimes there would be a slogan like the station that everyone at the office can agree on, something like that. And that was it, except one Sunday afternoon, a guy came on and chatted a little bit and read a weather forecast, but that was all. And between songs, the segues between songs was sometimes a little rough, the ends of songs being chopped off. I didn't figure it could be a commercial station because there were no call letters, but it didn't sound like any pirate that I'd ever known of, because there was no political agenda, no clowning around, no personality, and it wasn't just on the air occasionally like a pirate. It was down occasionally, but a lot of times it would be on every time I checked for a matter of weeks or months. If Fred or Mark or any listeners has ever come across anything like that, or has an opinion about it, what it could have been, I'd be interested in hearing. And actually, along about that time, when I was in Salem, I heard something similar to that. They called themselves TRW Hot Mix. 73s, everyone.
Greetings, DX Audio Service members.
This is Terry Livingston Hughes in Los Angeles. I can add my recommendation to those of others who have spoken on DXAS for the book Sounds in the Dark. It's a good summary of what radio listening in the wee small hours of the morning has been throughout the decades, particularly the 50s through the 80s, somewhat in the 90s as well, and mentions of other things, more historical and more recent. The appendices were interesting, a very good one about the NightCap program, only one small factual error. Contrary to what the author says in the book, one did not have to be a member of the NightCap organization to call into the program. My sister Larry and I went on a cruise the 21st through the 25th of October, and one of the ports of call was Ensenada. So on the way down there, I had a lot of fun on both the BCB and FM bands, listening to interesting things. Probably the most interesting station I found was on, I believe, 104.9. It was a classical music station with bilingual announcements. Very interesting. My holiday greetings to everyone, and belatedly, Happy Hanukkah to those who celebrate. I know this won't reach you until after Hanukkah, but for all other holidays, happy holidays to you all, and may you have the best in the year 2014. Bye-bye.
This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville. I love Mark Durenberger's band scans, but Mark, I would like it if at the beginning of every bandstand you would tell us the time. Are we hearing daytime propagation? Are we hearing late night propagation? Are we hearing propagation at sunset or sunrise? I would like to have that. Why do AM stations not announce to their listeners when they're going to go directional at night? In my entire life of radio listening, I've only known one station. That's the old CHVC, 1600 in Niagara Falls, Ontario, who used to announce when they were going directional. They later became CJRN. We have stations, for example, 770 WVNN in Athens, Alabama. They have a local, totally strong signal during the day, and they disappear at night. Why don't stations tell listeners? Most listeners, I'm sure, don't even know of the existence of directional antennas. You turn on your radio during the day, and it's there. You turn on your radio at night, and your favorite station is gone. What better motivation for you to leave that station and turn your radio somewhere else permanently? So why don't stations tell their listeners what's happening when the signal goes away? Wouldn't it be good listener relations?
Greetings, DX Audio Service members. This is Terry Livingston Hughes in Los Angeles. First of all, I have a couple of questions regarding Mark Durenberger's column for November. I listened to my DXAS yesterday. It's now the morning of November 8th. I cannot ID the other station at 8:20. I know I should be able to, but stuck out here on the left coast, there may be some things I don't know. And is there an ID for the station on 1010 that's underneath CBC Calgary? I love all the articles that you put on the magazine, everybody, all the editors, all the readers. And I especially appreciated the sign-off announcement at the end of November's DXAS. That's fun and humorous. It reminds me that the airlines are trying to do some monkeying around with their safety announcements so that we passengers will actually pay attention. I do, but many don't around me when I fly. So there, that does remind me of getting messages across in a humorous way so that people will actually pay attention. Wonderful sense of humor. I like all the examples of local programming that are on the DXAS. It's wonderful to hear all of these things from stations that that I will not hear from my location. Thanks to everybody, and thanks to those who contribute to the musings each month. Happy holidays to you all. 73 and good DX.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri, making these comments on November 8th. And on Thursday evening the 7th, KZQZ 1430, the oldies station on AM in St. Louis, apparently stayed up on their daytime power all night. Normally they come barreling in here with a nearly local signal around sunrise and sunset, but I'm probably in their skip zone because they weren't coming in quite that well overnight and into the early morning, but they were definitely coming in when they shouldn't have been. It would be interesting to find out where folks hear their signal where they normally shouldn't.
Hello, DX Audio Service members. This is Mike Dukin calling from Hayward, Wisconsin, and I have a few things to pass along. First of all, I don't know how many people know this, but Radio Disney has sold some stations in, I believe, 7 medium-sized markets, one of which was Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The station that they owned was WKSH from Sussex, outside Milwaukee, on 1640. Now, here's the deal. On September the 28th, ABC or Disney signed the station off, and they have been off until a new buyer is found. However, on October the 29th, the station came on the air, and they were playing a medley of show tunes with a little click track thing in the background that kind of sounds like the old Stars on 45 with the Beatles and all that. They were doing that, played a few vocal things, and they kept repeating the loop throughout the day on the 29th, and then the next day they were gone, and they haven't been back on since. And as far as I know, or from what I heard or read, a new buyer has not been sought yet. Now, the latter part of the information, I was able to get from the Upper Midwest Broadcast Loop, but this information was even read on Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. So that's the situation with WKSH. I also wonder how many people know that Casey Kasem is in the advanced stage of Parkinson's disease, and it kind of doesn't look good for him. I guess he can't talk anymore, and certain family members have an injunction of seeing him. Now, this information was from the general comments section on realradio.com, so we pray for Casey in our prayers. So that's the latest on Casey Kasem. And Mike Lance, you asked a question about oldies radio and why they call it classic hits and why certain stations do what they do and all that. Well, if you read talking books, I recommend a good one. And I know that some people on the Audio Service Corps have read it, and I have. It's Mark Fisher and his book called Something in the Air. That's M-A-R-K Fisher and the book Something in the Air. Now, I know it's available on Talking Book. And if you haven't read it yet, well, then I highly recommend it. So that's all I know from here. And hope everybody's enjoying good fall and keep warm. It's getting colder up here. 73s and good DX.
Hi, everyone. This is Tom Bilton, and I'm in Columbia, South Carolina for a few days, where I used to live all the time. But anyway, I noticed a few things. WQA 1470 has changed to a talk format, and they have been a religious station of some type or another for many, many years, but now they call themselves 1470 and 95.9 the Point. Also, we've got a couple of silent stations, WDEK 1170 from Lexington and WEAF 1130 from Camden. I think WEAF's been on and off a good bit. And I thought 710 from St. Matthews was silent, but I noticed they're back on now. So anyway, they seem to be back. Anyway, have a good time, everybody. Good 73s, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Mike Lance in Aventura, Florida. Why is it that radio stations will be playing music or doing programming, and the emergency broadcast tone goes off and there's no emergency whatsoever. It just goes off and then they go back into regular programming. Why does that happen?
This is Rusty Curry in Eugene, Oregon. In some of the recent issues, there's been articles read regarding the problems of AM radio, and one of the solutions was to open up the low VHF TV band to move some stations onto. And the problems that were mentioned there are, you know, logistical, getting the radios out there and how many years it would take. Why not open up the FM band down to where the Japanese start at 76 megahertz? That at least would open 60 channels, which is far more than we got by opening the X band, which is 9 channels if you leave out 1610. This way the radios are already being made, and I know some of them have been marketed here. I used to have one. That's all I have. Thanks.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you'd like to muse, give us a call at area code 419-741-0205. That's 419-741-0205. And you can muse 24 hours a day. Anytime, give us a call. But if you're calling the 419-228-6223 number, we cannot use anything that you leave on that number on the magazine because I have absolutely no way to be able to transfer audio off that little recording machine to the magazine. So please call the Musings number at 419-741-0205. Coming up in April, we're going to be doing a special Musings edition where you can ask questions concerning the club or this magazine. So if you have any question concerning comments or content or how we do business here, please give us a call and we'll save it for the April edition of the Musings. Pirate air checks. Boy, I'd love to hear them. If you have any, please send them on in. A lot of pirates have been on the shortwave band, particularly on 6925 in upper sideband. I've copied perhaps a dozen or more pirate radio stations, and I think Chris Gay has also been getting in on that action, as well as tipping me off to some of the broadcasts. I got a call here from Mark Durenberger. He'd like to weigh in on a question. Mark?
Mark Durenberger in the mobile Musings control room. I'm out in Colorado at the moment, about to launch with a good friend of mine yet another de-expedition, but this one's going to be a little bit different, and you'll hear about it. To Tim Hendel's questions and comments, I will do my best to let you know whether a signal is captured daytime, evening, or nighttime. And I guess I have to apologize for sometimes forgetting that I know, but you don't. So we'll try to do better. As to the comment about why don't radio stations tell their listeners when they're switching pattern or power, I think it has to do with the fact that saying something like that is tantamount to admitting that the station doesn't have the superior 24-hour coverage that the listener might expect. So to say, well, now it's sunset and it's time for us to reduce our power or time for us to direct our signal in another direction, is actually admitting that you have an underpowered or somewhat limited facility. That's my theory anyway as to why some of them don't do it. Another reason is that, frankly, it's a bit difficult to do that when so many radio stations are automated. You could, in fact, get in some kind of an announcement, have the automation system say something. So I have no reason to believe that stations couldn't do that. But I don't think they feel it's in their best public relations or image interest. There are some stations who do a good job of that. KRVN in Lexington, Nebraska comes to mind. Every sunset, religiously, they say something like, the FCC has now directed us to shift our pattern to the west. Well, that's not so bad as saying we have to reduce power now because there are other stations on our frequency that we have to protect. So that's a roundabout way of saying Wouldn't it be nice if everybody did it? But I think we understand why they don't. Thanks for the comment, Tim. Mark Dernberger here in the Musings Control Room on the road.
Thanks, Mark. And our final question comes from Mike Lance, who asks about the EAS tones. And Mike, I think the answer to that is that most stations program their EAS unit to do a weekly test. And when they do this weekly test, there's really no way to tell what audio is on at the time of the test. So it just goes right over top of the audio whenever the test has been scheduled by the engineer who sets up the box. I particularly don't like it because if it goes over top of a commercial, it seems to me that's a loss, and the radio station owes the advertiser for a commercial. And of course, if something is important on the air, such as a weather broadcast, that can also interrupt and you might not get all the information. And again, that is our musings to the members. Now, do you remember this show?
Wondered whatever became of me. I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati WKRP.
If you have ever followed radio stations, and particularly if you work in radio, you probably remember the TV show WKRP in Cincinnati. If you're a DJ, you probably can even remember some of the episodes. And probably one of the most rememberable episodes of all time is Turkey's Away. This article is titled, Thanksgiving Episode Cemented WKRP Place in History, written by Kirk Baird of the Toledo Blade. Live turkeys raining down from a helicopter like bags of wet cement onto a crowded parking lot 2,000 feet below. A radio newsman broadcasting this promotion turned carnage as if it were the Hindenburg tragedy.
The helicopter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. No parachutes yet. Those happy skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car! It's terrible.
Everyone's running around pushing each other. Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! People are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. The crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stand here and watch this anymore.
Children are searching for their mothers, and oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this.
And the eminently quoted capper to the madness.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Oh, the humanity. More than three decades after the cancellation of WKRP in Cincinnati, this situation comedy about a morbid, easy-listening AM radio station gone rock and roll and its zany staff enjoys a renewed relevance every year at this time with what is arguably TV's greatest Thanksgiving theme episode, Turkeys Away. It was hilarious, if I might say so myself, and I feel I can say that, said WKRP in Cincinnati creator and head writer Hugh Wilson, now 70 years old, living in Virginia, and retired from television. Even when I meet people today, and I get around to saying who I am, the first damn thing they'll say to me is, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. As strange as it may seem, Wilson's famous line from Turkeys Away is only partially fictionalized. Even more surprising is that the episode is based on real events. It's a truth stranger than sitcom fiction, and it begins in Atlanta, where Wilson worked as the creative director for an advertising agency before leaving for Hollywood to become a comedy TV writer. Atlanta is home to 790 WQXI, at one time the city's top rock and roll station in the 1970s, and which was the inspiration for much of WKRP. Wilson was friendly with many of the station's employees where he lived in Atlanta, so he returned to WQXI to research characters and story ideas for the sitcom. After a few drinks one night, Jerry Bloom, the station's general manager at the time, told Wilson about an ill-conceived promotion he helped put together years before while working in Dallas, Texas at a radio station, dropping live turkeys from a helicopter above a shopping mall parking lot. Much like the WKRP version, Bloom's account didn't end well. Jerry said to me, "Those turkeys, I think one went through the windshield of a car, and when we saw the terrible damage we had done, we landed the helicopter in the parking lot of the mall and tried to set the turkeys on the ground for people to pick up, but the turkeys attacked the people." And the "God is my witness" line? Bloom offered up this explanation. "I'm from Queens, New York. How the f*** would I know that turkeys can't fly?" The TV quote is my cleaned-up G-rated version of what he said, Wilson said. He was a very, very funny guy. Wilson, whom by then had written the Bob Newhart Show and the Tony Randall Show, right away recognized the comedic possibility of the turkey tragedy, and he thanked Bloom for the story. I told him at the time, "Jerry, I'm not going to share any money with you, but I want to share my thanks. I think I might have won an Emmy here. As it turns out, I think the show got nominated, but didn't win." But not everyone related to the foul humor. When Wilson got back to Hollywood, he passed on his story notes and directions to Bill Dial, the staff writer assigned to that script. Dial completely missed the boat with his version, Wilson said, and took it to a different direction, which made me kind of mad, to tell you the truth, because I had done the interview. I stayed up the night before we shot it and rewrote the whole thing. It was so easy to write because I didn't have to invent much. WKRP in Cincinnati premiered on September 18th of 1978 to disappointing ratings. Wilson said that the buzz about the Turkeys Away episode, which aired less than 2 months later, might have saved the series. It didn't initially have the great ratings bump, but it got a lot of talk inside the business. "I always thought it was a real booster shot." And now, decades later, he's flattered by the people who remember it. It's really an honor and a real kick to do something like that that seems to stick with people, Wilson said. "It makes me feel good." And this article is titled "Thanksgiving Episode Cemented WKRP's Place in History" and was written by Kirk Baird of the Toledo Blade, who can be contacted at kbaird, that's K-B-A-I-R-D, at theblade.com. theblade.com.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, WKRP. Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial. Once in a while, I'm at WKRP in Cincinnati.
Radio is not dead. This is a commentary piece which ran on Radio Inc. magazine by Mary Beth Garber on October 31, 2013. Mary Beth Garber can spot a radio basher a mile away. And like a sniper sitting in a tree waiting to take out the attacker, she loads her weapon, patiently waits, and when ready, she fires. Responding to Paul Goldstein's All Things D column entitled Seismic Shifts Remake the Radio Industry, Garber loaded up her bag of stats, facts, figures, and charts, and set out to correct Goldstein. While there truly is a seismic shift in perception of broadcast radio and the facts surrounding it, it's not the one that Goldstein claims, and the facts and the research bear that out. Goldstein believes radio is being seriously threatened by online competitors. Garber responds, not. Goldstein writes in his column that multiple metrics make it clear that serious threats imposed on the FM-AM platform by new online competitors are escalating exponentially. Of course, that goes against everything we've been hearing from radio CEOs, who say radio listening is as strong as it's ever been. Radio is experiencing a renaissance with advertisers. Online listening is still small compared to all audio listening, and live and local content is being created and delivered all across the fruited plain to happy listeners on a daily basis. And you can see a slight aggravation from some who are tired of hearing that radio will be toppled by the latest new media. The old 8-track cassette CD story we've all heard thousands of times. Garber adds to that, broadcast radio has not died. It's keeping 242 million people company every single week for an average of 2 hours and 45 minutes each day. Goldstein wrote in his column that as the velocity of change accelerates, broadcasters need the equivalent of the Manhattan Project for content, particularly original online content. And among the increasingly crowded personalized radio on-demand music services, companies that couple their appealing personalized on-demand attributes with extraordinary original content will break out from the pack just as HBO and Discovery did. The companies that best execute a strategy to build out-of-this-world original content are the ones that will become the kings of audio media. The shakeout is well underway. The truth is, many stations are already using video, podcasts of morning shows, and on-demand listening, so it's not as if the entire industry is ignoring this shift. To expect radio to instantly compete with those whose primary focus is creating original online content and video to make their money is asking a lot. They would be taking their eye off the money ball. Radio creates original content every day on thousands of stations across the country. Garber writes, USA Touchpoints puts the percentage of people 18 to 64 using internet music players on a weekly basis at just 20% reach currently, a significantly smaller voice for messaging, especially when compared with Arbitron's 92% weekly reach by broadcast radio. Scarborough USA Plus data shows radio has actually increased its reach of adults 18 to 54, 25 to 54, and 18 to 34 over the past 5 years. Radio accounts for more than 90% of almost any demographic segment of the consumer market every week. And many are surprised to discover that radio is the leading source of reach among media entertainment. Based on current trends, broadcast radio will continue to be the dominant player in the field of audio entertainment and the only one capable of offering the kind of personal connections to listeners that are afforded by locally focused content. For the DX Audio Service in Lexington, Kentucky, I'm Chris Gay, wishing all listeners a joyous holiday season.
Larry King returns to daily radio syndication. This article from Tom Taylor's Now Radio Magazine. This time it's under the auspices of Cumulus, and Larry's only on mic for a minute at a time. Before he began his long run with the CNN interview show, Larry hosted a late evening talk show for Mutual and its successor Westwood One. Coincidentally, DCR-TV reports the death of one-time Mutual president of Ed Little, who remembered a WIOD Miami host named Larry King. CNN eventually asked Larry to concentrate on TV, and he was eventually succeeded by Piers Morgan after he left CNN in 2010. Now the AP says Larry will be heard on a new daily series of one-minute reports that start airing immediately on more than 50 Cumulus-owned stations. The short forms have a connection with AARP, and Larry should be revved up about radio as always. He was the host of Saturday night's National Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in Chicago. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Mark Dernberger.
And from Tom Taylor's Now magazine comes this report. Surprise! Only about 2,800 applicants for new LP-FM radio stations. Not 10,000, but less than one-third that number. Now's search of the FCC database confirms the reader's tip. Just over 2,800 applicants for new LP-FM stations were filed during the recent, highly publicized window. Community radio advocates predicted many more applicants for the 100-watt non-commercial stations made available under the Local Community Radio Act and eagerly supported by the Federal Communications Commission. Still, 2,800 filings is a mountain of work for the audio division staff at the Federal Communications Commission. Now, do you want to search the potential LPFMs in your neighborhood? Well, it's easy if you have a computer and a browser. Just go to this website, all small letters, http://, and that is the forward slash underneath the question mark, licensing, licensing, .fcc.gov, /CDBS/PUBACK/APP_SEAR.htm. Once you get to the website, under service, select FM low power. Under application type, go for Original Construction Permit. Then scroll down to Submit Application Search and be very, very patient. It might take a few sips of your morning coffee or a walk of the dog for the FCC server to complete the list. Now, the screen will return an application search warning that you're about to request 2,801 records from the database. But if you're interested, go for it. And we found some interesting things in the database. First of all, an application for a new LP-FM station in Sun City Center, Florida for 96.1. Wonder who that might be. But we also found applicants here in the Lima, Ohio area. And oddly, they're asking for frequencies which are already taken. So I wonder, who's doing their engineering research? Well, those were denied, by the way, by the Federal Communications Commission, or I should say dismissed, and I suspect there's probably many others in the database throughout the United States. But if you're interested, go take a look and see what might be coming on in your neighborhood.
Owners of 80 stations want DAB switch halt, by Stuart Clarkson of the UK radio magazine Radio Today. This article was dated November 11, 2013. The owners of 80 commercial radio stations in the United Kingdom have released a joint statement calling for the digital radio switchover timetable to be set by consumers, not by the government. The group includes several national groups as well as a number of independent stations. The stations they represent cover an area from Shetland to Brighton, from Norwich to Plymouth. The government is due to make an announcement next month on the proposed timetable for migrating stations from FM and AM to DAB only. There are no plans to switch off analog radio, despite many areas of the popular press still reporting the switchover as a switch off, with scaremongering stories about FM radios becoming obsolete within a couple of years. The statement from 13 local radio operators highlights that only 23% of radio listening is via DAB and says that local commercial stations are severely disadvantaged by the switchover plans, as only 15% of local radio listening is on DAB, according to the data. The group says that as many as 100 important local commercial radio stations would either be left stranded on FM at switchover or would have to cut local programming to be able to afford DAB transmission costs. It also says publicly funding more DAB transmitters will benefit larger local and regional services rather than the ones covering the small-scale communities across the country. The consortium says that it's not against DAB as a platform, but says consumers, rather than government, should determine if and when there should be a switchover, and adds that broadcast companies should be able to decide which platforms they invest in. The British Communications Minister is expected to provide an update on the government's digital radio plans in a speech on December 16. Digital Radio UK says that the BBC and larger groups, representing more than 96% of radio listening, are in support of an in-principle decision on the switchover. CEO Ford Ennals says, "We believe that the future of local radio is secure, and the fact that FM will be sustained for ultra-local stations and community stations is good news for listeners and local radio. These are exciting times for radio. Listeners and small stations should be reassured that they will have plenty of time to prepare and plan for radio's future." Global Radio said in a statement, "Many listeners today cannot receive local stations on DAB. Clarity from the government on radio's digital future will unlock the investment needed to improve local DAB coverage and will bring more stations to more listeners. We hope the ongoing debate will be less about switchover, which in any case will not happen until listeners are ready, and more about the necessity for continuing investment in Britain's digital infrastructure." A spokesman added, "A positive decision from government on digital radio switchover will provide the radio industry and all stations, national and local, with a certain and exciting future at the heart of the UK's digital economy. We believe that with the right structure, investment, and talent, local radio will thrive following switchover." The Community Media Association told Radio Today that it welcomed progress on digital migration for national and large regional stations, adding that freeing up FM spectrum would create new opportunities for community stations and small independents. Director Jackie Devereaux said, "The possibility of low-cost DAB, as demonstrated in a research project for Ofcom earlier this year, provides a potential solution for those community stations and other small broadcasters which want to go onto DAB in the future. In the meantime, FM broadcasting remains healthy for the foreseeable future and provides listeners with an ideal complement to digital radio in terms of increasing choice." What the Local Operators Coalition says. Paul Smith, chairman of Celador Entertainment, which owns the Breeze Network and runs a number of Jack FM stations under brand license, said Celador is one of the fastest-growing radio groups in the UK, operating 18 commercial radio stations which provide valued local programming to listeners. "For radio to continue to meet the needs of listeners, I believe that platform investment decisions should be left at the discretion of the broadcaster." Scott Taunton, managing director of UTV Media, said, "UTV is an enthusiastic supporter of all forms of digital radio, including DAB. However, in common with many other UK operators, we believe that switching off AM and FM risks jeopardizing listeners' affection for radio and undermining valued local radio services. We urge government to devise policies which prioritize the interests of consumers and allow all sectors of the industry to prosper." Steve Orchard, chief executive of Touch Radio Owners Quidam, said, "Local commercial stations provide an important and well-loved service for millions of listeners and many thousands of local customers. Whilst we welcome and strongly support the transition of radio to DAB and other digital platforms, the migration strategy must include a viable solution for this substantial branch of the commercial radio family. Simply to cut them adrift would be very damaging to radio's ecology." Inga Walderson and Ian Anderson, joint owners of SIBC in Shetland, said, "This is an issue of fairness and inclusion. From 1998, we have been advocating that the digital platform must include technology that is affordable to the smaller, independent operator, and it should be on a frequency band that can provide satisfactory coverage in relatively large and difficult terrain. However, although this has been accepted by many with the power to bring about change, nothing has been done. Mr. Anderson is not the Ian Anderson of the rock band Jethro Tull. Robert Walsh, managing director of the Q Radio Network, which comprises six stations in Northern Ireland, said, "The complete migration to digital in Northern Ireland spells the imminent demise of local radio as we know it. The provision of local news, sport, and programming in small regions, specifically rural areas like here, are the lifeblood of the community. The loss of services like this will leave areas like Northern Ireland further disadvantaged." William Rogers, CEO of UKRD Group, said, "The announcement today of a sizable and growing group of radio operators opposing the forced switchover to DAB is a significant change to the DAP switchover debate. The fact is that there are now operators firmly opposing the forced switchover, which will be bad for consumers and bad for many parts of the commercial radio industry. I fully expect these numbers to grow, and whilst there are others who have yet to declare but are firmly opposed like we are, the momentum is clearly moving against the forced switchover, and I hope the government listens to what is being told by so many." This article was entitled, "Owners of 80 Stations Want DAB Switch Halt," by Stuart Clarkson of the UK radio magazine Radio Today. I'm Wally Warrow in Dallas, Texas, and I'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
And finally on this edition of the DX Audio Service, a story, or perhaps commentary, that perhaps all of us have thought about at one time or another as we listen to a radio station. The title of this story is, "Local DJ Under the Impression People Want to Hear Him Talk." This article was written by Larry Appleby and appeared on the website TexasCockroach.com. According to multiple listeners, local DJ Chris Crash Douglas of La Cucaracha's only place to rock, K-Rock, is under the impression people want to hear him talk rather than hear the classic rock music of their youth. "God," said Joe Henry, "it's really getting annoying. The other morning he went on and on and on about Obamacare, and I'm like, man, I just want to hear some bleepin' Boston." Mary Wagner expressed similar thoughts. She said, "I don't put on K-Rock to hear Crash talk about his feelings on the budget deficit. I even agree with him most of the time. But so what? I just want to hear some Aerosmith. Is that too much to ask?" Records and control room logs show that Douglas has been averaging only three classic rock staples by bands such as Lynyrd Skynyrd, Molly Hatchet, Spencer Davis Group, and Procol Harum per hour over the last month. The rest of the time, Douglas spends expounding on topics ranging from abortion rights to immigration law to Wall Street regulation, all because he thinks people are interested in his opinion on these subjects. According to Fred White, Douglas is wrong. He says, "I don't care what he thinks about illegal immigrants. In fact, I'd rather listen to some Rat or even some Y&T than listen to Crash's thoughts on hydraulic fracturing. Just play some darn rock and roll music, dude." Another longtime listener, Manny Maldondo, said that lately he's had to turn the station away from K-Rock, lest people think I'm one of those dorks who listen to talk radio or NPR. "Jesus, man, just play some damn Whitesnake, will ya?" For his part, Douglas thinks his political and religious thoughts carry more weight with listeners than, say, the music of Canada's Loverboy. He said, "Well, they're Canadians, for Christ's sakes, and I think that they just dampen the impact on whether or not a kid is hot tonight or if we're working for the weekend." "No," said Candy Summers, "he's wrong. I'd rather hear Loverboy, please." Maldondo expressed that if Douglas wants to talk so much
At least he could mix it up and reminisce about the time that we went to the Grateful Dead show at Manor Downs in the early 80s. But he's a real downer dropping all this heavy stuff on us at 6:30 a.m. If I wanted to live in the 21st century, I'd cut my hair and start listening to One Direction. If he has to rant about current events, mix it up with some hot chick drama about Lindsay Lohan and Amanda Bynes. And for gosh sakes, would you play some Bon Jovi? And that article is titled, Local DJ Under the Impression That People Want to Hear Him Talk. And that puts a wrap on this edition of the DX Audio Service for December 2013. From all of us here at the DX Audio Service, including Debbie, Connie, John, and, of course, the kiddies, we wish you the best this holiday season, and we look forward to seeing you again in 2014. Until next time, 73 Good DX, and get out and support radio.